one of my earliest childhood memories of church was in the children's chapel that was dominated by a large picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It was a rather not great piece of art, but it was an impressive piece to a young person. First of all, Jesus looked huge, and he was surrounded by sheep, but in his arm, his left arm, he was cradling a sheep, presumably the lost sheep that we hear about in a different gospel than this morning's gospel. But shepherding and all of the nuances of what Jesus says in John about shepherding and being the good shepherd were lost on me until I was a priest and had the opportunity to take a course at St. George's College in Jerusalem, which is a continuing education center. And I took a course called The Bible in Its Setting that lasted for a month. And it was an intensive and wonderful course. And on one of the first days of the course, we were loaded into a minivan and taken out into the Judean countryside and told to just sit on this hillside and watch a Bedouin shepherd as he was shepherding his sheep. That was all we were told to do, was to observe and see what we could come up with. Well, I have to admit, this assignment was not greeted warmly by the group of us doing this. I mean, watching this shepherd at first was like watching paint dry. But it got interesting. All of a sudden, we became aware that the shepherd would, from time to time, call out something in Arabic. We didn't understand any Arabic at the time. But we noticed that whenever he did call something out, a particular sheep who might have been munching his or her way toward the edge of the flock would raise their head and turn and begin munching back in the right direction. And he did this time and time again. Was it possible, we began to wonder, that he had actually named all of his sheep? Apparently he had. And even more startling, they knew their name. And, as Jesus says in the passage from John, they heard his voice, the shepherd's voice, and they recognized the shepherd's voice was someone they could trust. Jesus goes on today in the gospel to say that the hired person, or in a different context, he says, the robber, is someone who they will not follow because they do not recognize the voice, and he doesn't know them by name. This is Good Shepherd Sunday in Good Shepherd Parish. So I want to think with you about how it is that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who knows us each by name and is calling us to follow him collectively and individually. There aren't many aspects of the baptismal service in the old 1928 prayer book that I miss, but there is one aspect that I do miss. In that service, the baptism began with, "Name this child." And the child was named, presumably before God, so that God would forever after remember the name of the child. The young people who are here, and the adult who is being received, the young people who are being confirmed, and the adult who is being received, are all wearing name tags. That's so I know their name, but God already knows not only their name, but all of your names as well. And I believe that God is always calling name. So why don't we hear God's call? Often it's because we are so busy attending to other voices, the voices of anxiety or worry, or the voices of success, or the voices of that seem to clamor in our world, that they drown out the voice of Jesus. But if you've come here this morning, some of you at least, especially those of you who come here on a regular basis, are probably here because you are expecting to hear somewhere in what goes on today the voice of God with some insight for you, maybe some solution to a problem with which you're struggling, some word of encouragement, some word of challenge. Others of you are here, perhaps out of a great yearning. You would like to go deeper spiritually. You would like to learn something that would give you a better center in your life. Be encouraged. This is a good place to be, to hear God calling your name. And some of you are here simply to support confirmants, but don't be deluded. God has also called you to this place and is calling your name. So you too maybe should not just be preoccupied with the person for whom you are here because they are a relative or a friend, but recognizing that God knows who you are and God has something to say to you as well. The baptismal covenant that we will rehearse in a few moments is an opportunity for the whole congregation and not just the confirmands to renew our baptismal faith. And after we say the Apostles' Creed, there are five questions that the bishop asks. And these questions all help to point the way as to how it is that we can follow Jesus as the Good Shepherd. They're guidelines for what will make it easier. And you know, the first of these questions amounts to, will you show up? Now, of course, it's prayer book language, so I wouldn't say, will you show up, although I'm tempted to. It's, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers? But at the bottom line, what the bishop is asking, will you show up here from time to time, and hopefully most of the time, or someplace like this, another church? That's the promise that people probably take least seriously, and it may be the most important promise of all. Looking around, I think it's fair to say, since I have been ordained for 50 years and have done multiple services on Sunday and weekday services as well, I have been at more church services than anyone else in this room. And I want to assure you, some of them have just been damn boring. So, gauging from your laugh, I know you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you come and think, why did I drag myself out of bed for this? You know, and so you make your grocery list and try in some ways to make it more productive. But nothing in the service seems to grab you. The music, the lessons, it all is flat. And maybe it's where you're coming from. Maybe you're in a flat place yourself. But in any event, don't be discouraged. I can assure you, as someone who's gone through all kinds of terrible worship services, that the other side to that is, more often than not, I have been amazed at something that has really grabbed me at my very depth. Something in the music sung in the church, something in the beauty of a place like this, or just the opportunity to be quiet in a place like this for an hour on a given day. Something in the readings, something the preacher said, something that happened at the passing of the peace, or someone who I hadn't seen for a long time who I was able to pass that peace with, or some piece of information that was imparted to me during the coffee hour, or some way in which someone embraced me at a time I needed an embrace, or I had an opportunity to share that embrace with another. In some special way, God has reached out and touched me, and has often given me the answer I was searching for. And sometimes, even the answer for questions I hadn't completely formulated in my own mind, because I had come, I was subject to being touched by the hand of God. So I encourage you, there is something to be said for regular church attendance. You're putting yourself in a position where God, who is calling your name all the time, may be able to reach you in some special way. And the second promise is a support there too. It's when you fall away, will you return and repent? You know, God is a lot more ready to forgive us than we are often ready to forgive ourselves. And God is always welcoming us back. No one ever does anything or so far distances them from the church community that they are not welcomed back as participants. So that's a reminder. All of us fall away, but we are always welcome to return and to start over again. And then the other three promises are the ones that preachers usually capitalize on. They're the ones of how to do the ministry. Ministry which isn't possible without the aid of the Holy Spirit or the community of believers. The first is that we will witness by word and example the good news of God in Christ. The young people are experts at knowing hypocrisy. All of us knew that when we were young people too, but some of us have become less good at spotting it. But my experience is that young people are particularly good at calling the rest of us into line and noting the hypocrisy that if our words do not in fact get reflected in our action, then our words are empty. What the world needs is people to be Christian, not just to talk about their Christianity, not to set some kind of high bar of doctrinal adherence, but to, in fact, live lives of charity and goodwill with their neighbors, reaching out with their neighbors to make a difference for good in the world. None of us is able to do this on our own, but together as a community, we can compensate for one another's weaknesses and share the strengths so that forward together we may move in really bringing the light of Christ to bear in our world. And then the next promise that comes is a hard one. We will seek and serve Christ in every person. I don't know about you, but I can say for myself, serving was always the easy part of that. Like most people, I like to be helpful. And so if I can be helpful, if I can serve you in some way, that makes me feel good. And I've always liked to do that ever since I was a child. But seeking Christ in every person, that's the hard part. You know, there are people we would rather avoid. There are people who we sometimes actually do avoid. Some of them are maybe members of your church, or your neighborhood, or your school, or your place of work. People who you go out of your way to try, oh God, don't let me have to have a conversation with him or her. You know, there are people we really just instinctively dislike. So that's where it's hard to believe that something of Christ is in every person. And the hard job is seeking it, seeking out where Christ is in that person who otherwise drives me crazy, but somewhere Christ is in that person. It's so important to do that, especially in a culture that is so seriously divided as our own. Seeking out the person who is ideally on the opposite end of the political spectrum, speaking out and speaking to the person who holds different points of view, trying to find Christ in the other person is so important to moving forward as a Christian church and as a society. And then we promise that we will love others in the power of the Spirit and respect the dignity of every human being. Now, if the confirmands are sitting here thinking, this is a pretty tall order, and I'm not capable of doing this thing, you're right. Individually, we are not capable of doing these things. That's why we need the community to support one another in doing these things. That's why Paul says we are the body of Christ. Individually, we have talents, but individually, all of us also have weaknesses. We need to be able to rely on the talents of other people. We need to be able to share our talents with them. We need to let them compensate for our weaknesses so that we can move forward. The other piece of good news in this service is that we are, in several places, assured that the Holy Spirit will empower us. For those who show up, and those who desire to go deeper, and those who long to hear the voice of Jesus, it will be granted. And maybe not immediately, but ultimately, it will be granted. So take courage in your Christian faith. On this Good Shepherd Sunday in Good Shepherd Church, have faith that the Good Shepherd is calling you by name, and the Good Shepherd has work for you to do. Amen.
Amen.